Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing last night's day one pay-per-view, as well as some news in the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room. We'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. But I am being told that we're going to have to reboot. So we're going to try to do that now, and we'll be right back. Hang tight. All righty. Well, we're back, and let's start this before we jump into the results of day one and our thoughts on day one. Let's first tackle an issue that came up over the weekend that's turning out to be kind of ugly for AEW. And that is, I guess, Big Swole has decided to accuse Tony Khan and the AEW of not being diverse enough an organization. And this caused Tony Khan to respond saying he let her go because her actual in-ring work was not good enough. And this has caused, has this ever caused controversy, and has this caused an eruption with fans and also with workers, some sticking up for Tony Khan, some sticking up for Big Swole. It's just an absolute debacle. An absolute debacle. And, you know, I guess it depends on your perspective. But I'm going to give you my perspective and take it for what it's worth. In professional wrestling and in life, it's nice to be diverse and it's nice to have diversity. But you never base it on an organization. That's not what you base it on. You don't say, well, I simply don't have enough Asians. I simply don't have enough people of color. That's incorrect. You take the very best people that you think you can find, irregardless of ethnicity, irregardless of color. Isn't that correct? I mean, how would you like it if you went for a job and you had to pass a test and they said, well, you got a 98 and the next nearest person got an 84, but we're going to hire them because we just don't have enough diversity. And so we're just going to hire someone who fits the ethnic role because why not? We want to appear diverse. Is that fair? The answer is no, it's not fair. Does it lead to a better business? No, it doesn't lead to a better business because then you're shackled with someone who only got an 84 and may not be as good an employee as someone who just got a 90-something, right? Is the National Basketball League diverse? How many Asians do you see on the National Basketball League? Eh? How many? Not too many. So when Big Swole comes out and says, well, they're not diverse enough, give me a break. Just give me a break already. It makes no difference. You see, here's the deal. To truly have a non-racist society, race can't make a difference. Which means one way or the other. Not just one way. One way or the other. Which means that the best person, the most qualified people get the job, get the TV time, get the good matches, get the belt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You don't just hand someone a belt and say, look, you know and I know that you're not drawing flies. You know and I know you're not very good in the ring, but you're the right color. So to prove I'm woke and diverse, I'll just hand you a belt. Poor little minority. Is that what you want? That's the exact opposite of what you should want. You should say no. You should reject that and say, if I'm good enough, hand me the belt. If I'm not good enough, don't even think about handing it to me because of my skin color, because that in itself is racist. When you can tell me I'm good enough, then I want the belt, not just because I fit your mode. And you have to be more diverse. So I think Big Swole is full of crap. Leo Rush has jumped on the bandwagon saying to Tony Khan, apologize. I'm mad. I'm mad as hell. If you don't apologize, I'm going to start spilling the beans. Spilling the beans on what? Spilling the beans on what? They hired your ass after the WWE wanted nothing to do with you because you were a troublemaker. You're one of those guys who look for reasons to be offended. That's the problem. That's the problem with Leo Rush. He looks for reasons to be offended. I'm not the number one star in wrestling because it's not my fault. Someone else is holding me down. It's because of this. It's because of that. It's because of this. It's because you're 5'1". You're a very talented athlete, but you're not going to be a champion of a big heavyweight division. You're not going to be. Faced it. You're also not going to be a star basketball player. Should everybody just bow down to you and say, well, he's only 5'1", so don't block him. He's only 5'1", so let him take the shot. I'm not going to do that. He's going to eat you alive. And then you get they're coming down on me because of my race. That's not true. So now here comes all the woke squad after Tony Khan, who admittedly opens his mouth far too much. And probably should have took the high road and just said nothing. But he was trying to defend his federation and saying we are diverse. We're much more diverse than any other federation. And that's not the reason that Big Swole is gone. Because if he said nothing, then it would make it look like, well, maybe Big Swole is right and she hit a nerve and he's just going to respond. So he decided, well, no, I'm going to set the record straight. I didn't fire her because of ethnicity or anything else. She's gone because I'm very good. Can't use her. And right away it's, oh, you're not diverse enough. If we got to base the world on this, this is ludicrous. Better end hockey because there's really not that many African-Americans in hockey, so obviously they're not a they must be racist, right? Or is it remotely possible that African-Americans, for the most part, aren't really big hockey players, and they don't like it that much? Is that possible? Is that remotely possible? Of course it is. So this is just ridiculous, Todd, and it's going to go on and on and on. And this is what happens when you start a company and promise all kinds of wokeness and stuff. You get it thrown back in your face. I warned everybody this was going to happen.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, Tony Khan should kept his mouth shut and just not to deal with this. He should have kept his mouth shut. Don't say anything. Just go on with business as usual.
Because if you make that kind of an accusation and then you say nothing, the perception ends up being, oh, maybe she's right. He didn't say anything. You notice he's not saying that's not true. So I don't know. It's a very difficult situation. What I do think, he could have made a better statement. He could have said that was not the reason she was released, and we are a very diverse group. He didn't really have to go there and say, because she wasn't very good or anything, because then that just stirs up a whole hornet's nest of people getting aggravated. But this is the trouble, folks. When you start a wrestling federation and you say, we're going to be the most woke and diverse and equal opportunity, and we're going to be this, and it's going to be so wonderful, and everyone's going to sit around and sing Kumbaya, then eventually they're going to hold you to that. And I warned everybody when AEW was just starting out, you're not going to be able to hold this and have a successful wrestling federation. It's not possible. It's not possible. Because as soon as you do that, then everybody's going to come out of the woodwork and say, the only reason I'm not the champion, the only reason I'm not on TV constantly is because I'm Latin American, or I'm Asian, or I'm African American, or and it just gets ridiculous. At some point in time, you have to, what my grandmother used to say, crap or get off the pot, which means either present evidence that the only reason you are being held down is because of your race, or accept the fact that maybe it's just you're not good enough. You're not what they're looking for right now. The Cesaro go around saying, the only reason I'm not champion, despite the fact that everybody knows what a great wrestler I am, is because I'm Swedish. I come from Sweden. And they hate Swedish people. So they're holding me down, those bastards. Or does he just accept the fact that, I don't know, man, they just don't see something in me. I think I'm good. I think I wrestle well. I think the fans appreciate me, but the WWE doesn't see that in me. Or is he not allowed to do that? See, that's where it all breaks apart. That's where it all breaks apart. I do not see lack of diversity in AEW. I'm sorry, I don't. I just don't. Anyway, let's get on to last night's day one, because holy cow, could you get any wilder than this? A couple hours before the event was to start, Roman Reigns made an official, I guess you would call it a tweet or whatever, saying, I've tested positive for COVID. And because I've tested positive for COVID, I obviously can't compete tonight. Now, let's get the one thing out of the way. This is a man who has a compromised immune system due to his leukemia. He was vaccinated, got it anyway. And what we can hope is that it's not a serious case. It doesn't appear to be. Appears to be a mild case, and that everything's going to be fine. And he'll be back before you know it. And that's our wish, obviously. This caused the WWE to go into full panic mode, because as everyone knows, the WWE had a big, big angle planned that had WrestleMania ramifications. And they were not able to do it. Now, the WWE had a couple of choices. They could have pulled Brock Lesnar off the card too. They could have had Brock Lesnar fight someone else. Or they could have stuck him into this four-way match, which is exactly what they did. Now, sticking Brock Lesnar into this four-way match and making it a five-way match made it actually quite interesting, because we were going to get to see Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley for the first time, and Brock Lesnar and Big E for the first time. And give some credit to Brock Lesnar. You know, sometimes we are hard on him and we say, well, he doesn't want to work with this one, he doesn't want to work with that one. At the last minute, he agreed to work with all of them. Couldn't have had much time to really flesh out much of anything. So good for him. Now, in taking this stuff out of order, because this is the one we want to talk about the most, Brock Lesnar obviously wins the match and wins the Raw title. Folks, this was not what was supposed to happen. It was not what was supposed to happen at all. Guaranteed 100%, it was not supposed to happen. I'll tell you how you know it was not supposed to happen, because even the graphic that proclaimed the winners and the losers that appeared afterwards said Big E was the winner, because they had printed it beforehand. Now, they stuck Brock Lesnar's picture up there as the winner, but underneath it says Big E defeats Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, and Seth Rollins. That's what it actually said, with Brock Lesnar's picture there. Big E was supposed to win. This was a last-minute call, and it was one out of desperation. And it's a very, very, very tight situation they're in. Because we all know they want to get to Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. They definitely, definitely want that. That's what they're building toward. And I can almost guarantee you that last night Brock Lesnar was going to lose, because he can win the Royal Rumble probably as a surprise entrant. Paul Heyman realizes, I've unleashed the beast now. He hates me and he hates Roman, and he's coming for us. And that was going to be WrestleMania. It's not going to be WrestleMania now, I don't think. They literally have to change their plans. Now they have Brock Lesnar as champion. Now, could he give up the belt Monday night? I guess. But why? Why would he do that? And he's not going to drop before WrestleMania. They're not going to do that. Possibly have planned. Well, I tell you the truth, I'm not really sure. You could go for Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania, but the problem with that is that both of these guys at this stage are sort of like tweeners. Is Bobby Lashley a heel or a face right now? Well, he's with MVP, so he's still kind of a heel, but he's not really acting like a heel. Brock Lesnar is still sort of the same Brock Lesnar, but without Paul Heyman, he's a little more jovial, and maybe he's not as much of a heel. We don't really know. So would that be a good WrestleMania match? I guess, but you're going to have to really build that up, and I'm not sure exactly how you do it. And then who's for Roman? Drew McIntyre? Well, we got a little bit of alarming news there. Drew McIntyre was taken out last night on purpose after the match with Madcap Moss because Drew McIntyre is having problems with his neck. I don't know how long he's going to be gone. He's been being written not going to be a week or 10 days. It's going to be more like a month or two. And if that's the case, I don't know. I mean, we're looking at the beginning of January. You don't have that much longer before you got to start these WrestleMania feuds. It's really a mess. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, it was a very interesting event, and that particular match ended up being quick but good. But it is not what they had originally planned, and now you wonder, is WrestleMania totally in limbo?
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it just, right now it's on the halt. We don't know what's going to go on with WrestleMania, with these WrestleMania plans. Like last night, the pre-show kickoff match with Ridge Holland and Sheamus and versus Cesaro and Ricochet last night. I guess Ridge Holland suffered a broken nose or something due to a knee to the nose or something by Ricochet. And he didn't
turn out. Happened. We're going to get into that in the pre-show, of course. That was the pre-show match. And at one point, Cesaro flipped Ricochet to do like a flipping, I guess, body press, you'd call it. And his knee came right down on his nose. Holland immediately rolled out. He was attended to by doctors. They told him he can't go back into the ring. This is a real problem, and I'll tell you why this is a real problem. This shows a little bit of disorganization by the WWE. Because the minute it becomes Cesaro and Ricochet against Sheamus alone, you should have changed the match ending. You should have had all these referees are wired up. All they had to do is send word, change the match to Sheamus loses or Sheamus takes a count out or whatever ends up happening. But to allow Sheamus to win is almost like a face thing, right? Because it's two against one. And here comes Sheamus like a freight train and he beats them. And you're like, okay, wow, well, that's almost admirable. He didn't even cheat to do it. It just, whoa, okay. Well, that's sort of what you do if it's a face. But Sheamus being a heel like that, you'd have thought they'd have changed the match. Now, obviously, originally, Sheamus and Ridge Holland was going to win. Taken out, it wouldn't have been a bad idea to call an audible there and just say, let's not do that because it's going to really promote Sheamus, make Sheamus look good, but geez. How's that make Ricochet and Cesaro look? Not too good. Not too good at all. So I was surprised. I don't know how long Ridge Holland will be out. I know they posted some pictures. His nose does not look good. And this is happening a lot. Sheamus had his nose broken twice. Now Ridge Holland had his nose broke once. We're getting into the nose broke club here. It's unbelievable. Expect, a few weeks at least, maybe a month, I don't know. And Ridge Holland was just starting, so that's not really good news for Ridge Holland, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. When Sheamus broke his nose not too long ago, he was out for a few weeks, and he had surgery done. Then he came back wearing that nose guard thing to protect his nose from getting re-broke again.
And still got broke. He took it off, still got it re-broke. So, yeah, I don't know how long Holland will be out, but probably a month or so. So that's not good. I don't know what they'll do with Sheamus in the meantime. Now, the opening match of the pay-per-view, Usos versus The New Day, was an excellent match. We knew it was going to be an excellent match. We all said on Friday's show, it's almost impossible for them not to have a really good match. Every match they've ever done together has been a good match. They really have a lot of chemistry in the ring together. They're very sharp. They know each other like the back of their hands. They feel comfortable with one another, and that's all the ingredients you need to have a really good match, and this was a really good match. The key to this match, however, was what I said on Friday, which is not only do the Usos have to win, they have to win in a fashion that's not, oh, well, we cheated and the referee didn't see us get pinned 19 times and then we used a foreign object. You can't have that. You've got to have the Usos win so the announcers can say, I don't know, man, the Usos are just on a roll. I don't know a team that can beat them. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. They introduced a new finisher, which is basically like a 3D, right? And I thought it was a great match. I mean, I thought they were off to a pretty hot start with this, not counting the pre-show match, which was still a pretty good match. This match was definitely a step above, Todd.
True, right there. Like you said, that move last night, that did like a sort of like a 3D move. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And if this can lead into the Usos being one of these teams that you say, we don't know who could ever beat them, that's great. That's what you want. You want the Usos to look like, since they've hooked up with Roman and are on this roll, they're going to be extraordinarily tough to beat. Not the opposite. Not, oh, well, we still suck and everybody's beating us and we're only winning because we're cheating. You don't want that. And to WWE's credit, they didn't do it. Give credit again to the WWE because Madcap Moss and Drew McIntyre, the world knew Madcap Moss was not going to win. The world knew that Drew McIntyre was supposed to. I don't even know if he's going to now. I don't know what they're going to do because he's hurt and Roman Reigns has COVID and Brock Lesnar is on to do something else. So I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Drew McIntyre's and Roman Reigns' house shows coming up. I guess McIntyre's out and Roman will be back in, I don't know whether it's a week or 10 days, whatever the CDC says today. One day it's 5 days, one day it's 10 days, one day it's 14 days. But I imagine it's going to be a week or two. So some of these house shows are looking bad, and this goes to show you, what did we say on this show? We said on this show, if you lose Roman Reigns on SmackDown, you don't have a show. Because who do you have? Who do you have that's over? Who do you have that people are going to pay to see? Maybe Drew McIntyre? Well, now you lost him. So now you've lost Drew McIntyre and Roman Reigns. That ain't looking too good. And apparently you're moving Brock Lesnar to Raw for a while, so ouch. He is a free agent. He can show up anywhere, but still, expect him to show up on SmackDown because, man, I got news. They're going to need some star power over there. But to his credit, in this match, Drew McIntyre gave Madcap Moss a lot of offense. And this match actually went longer than a couple of the title matches, including the main event. And there were times when Moss looked really good. He's not bad in the ring. And backstage, actually, Drew McIntyre gave the devil his due and said, look, he's a lousy joke teller and he's not funny, but he's a tough dude, man. I was really surprised by how tough he is, and then he was attacked, obviously, by Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss, and they did the gimmick with his neck so that they could write him off television. This is not good news for SmackDown, Todd, because they've lost, arguably, their two top guys.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they lost their two top stars on that show. They lost Roman Reigns, and they lost Drew McIntyre. And this don't look good for either superstar and in the rest of the roster as of right now. They need some star power from Monday Night Raw or something, like some Big E over there or something as a star power, and then somebody else.
Yeah, it's real trouble. There's no question that there's real trouble there. I don't know what exactly SmackDown's going to do for a while. Maybe Roman Reigns will be back soon. Once again, I think once you have it, I think it's maybe, I don't know how many, isolate period, and then you got to wait. It isn't that long. So you'll probably be back soon, but still, you've lost your second guy. You're really going to have to elevate SmackDown. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be that easy at all. Next up is RK-Bro defending the belts against the Street Profits, and I really thought the Street Profits might flip on this show. Even the announcer said, you know, they've been showing a little bit of a mean streak, a little different side to them. And I said, here we go. But they didn't. They didn't. They just had a really good match. Orton is so over. It's unbelievable. You know, you would think the whole situation with RK-Bro was kind of schemed up to get Matt Riddle over. But Matt Riddle was falling on his face. Matt Riddle was not getting a lot of cheers. Matt Riddle was being called annoying and, stupid, and fans were not liking it. As soon as they did this, that turned around. But the person that really turned around the most for is Randy Orton. Randy Orton is over. This is the way the fans want Randy Orton used. And Randy Orton's loving it because it's just tag team matches. He doesn't have to work half as hard, and he's really putting everything into it. And this was an excellent match. These guys gave it their all. I don't know about the Migos being down at ringside. Why, I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I've never heard of them, I'll be honest with you. But they got in the ring afterwards, and everybody shook hands and celebrated. So I guess everybody still faces Todd, and all is well.
Absolutely right there, like you said. After that match last night with RK-Bro and the Street Profits, I was waiting for the cue with the Profits attack Bro RKO after the match was over. I was waiting for that moment.
To tell you the truth, I was kind of too. I thought to myself, I wonder if Orton's going to RKO someone, or if the Street Profits are going to take out RK-Bro and, you know, turn on them. But no, none of that happened. So, but still, it was definitely a good match. And so far, the two tag team title matches have been the best things on the card, hands down, no question. We get to Edge versus The Miz. And once again, this was better than I expected. I didn't expect a ton from it. I did expect Beth Phoenix, but I expected her to come out under different circumstances. It's true that Maryse did interfere a little bit, but I thought there was going to be much more blatant and direct interference. In other words, I thought Maryse was really going to, like, kick and punch him when he fell to the outside of the ring and really just, you know, Edge get up but can't hit her. You know, and her making sure the world knows that thing, you can't hit me, I'm a woman, you're not going to hit me, and then out comes Beth Phoenix. That didn't really happen. But irregardless, we know where this is leading. This is leading to a mixed tag team match, and they're probably going to try to ride this puppy all the way to WrestleMania, I think. I don't think you're going to see it on television before that, or even the next pay-per-view. I think they're going to try to stretch this out long enough to get it to WrestleMania. Okay. And I don't think anybody's too invested in this feud, to be really honest with you. But I guess it's okay, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said about that match with Edge and Miz. And we kind of knew Beth Phoenix was returning last night.
Yeah, no question.
And like you said, I got that feeling you're going to see a mixed tag at the Royal Rumble or something, or WrestleMania.
See, I normally would say the Royal Rumble, but I don't think so. I think they're going to try to stretch this out to WrestleMania because I don't know what else they got for The Miz or Edge. Edge is definitely going to want to be a part of WrestleMania, and he'd be being set up right now for whatever he's going to do. So my assumption is this is it. My assumption is this is his WrestleMania match, which still could be okay, I guess. It's an attraction. It's not something people are going to be super interested in, but it's okay. Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. This match surprised me. I'll be honest with you. This is the best I've seen Liv Morgan look thus far. I had been saying she's not ready. She sometimes is sloppy. She sometimes botches. She sometimes looks slow and unsure of herself. None of that was here in this match. None of that was here. She looked good. She looked really good. My question is, can you do that when it's not Becky Lynch opposite you? Can you do that when your opponent is not Becky Lynch, who can help you and carry you? I don't know what the answer to that question is. We're going to find out, I guess. Now, Liv Morgan didn't win, but Liv Morgan looked very, very good and did herself way more favors in losing this match than she has so far in winning anything. Because this is the match that I think might convince some people Liv Morgan does have what it takes, just a little more refining, and you might have somebody here. You just might have a future world champion. So good for Liv Morgan. You know, she lived up to and exceeded most people's expectations. Now she works on that mic skill a little bit, and she can keep this kind of offense and pace with someone who's not Becky Lynch. See, the deal is, when you're the champion, you're going to sometimes have to fight people who probably aren't on your level. And you're going to have to carry them a little bit. And you're going to have to help them through and make them look good. Becky Lynch can do that. Shawn Michaels was an expert at that. I don't know if Liv Morgan is ready for that. Can Liv Morgan have a match with Dana Brooke and make Dana Brooke look good? I don't know. Can she make Tamina look good? I don't know. But last night, she looked very good. Best I've seen Liv Morgan wrestle in a long time. Obviously, Becky wins. We knew that was kind of coming, Todd. No big surprise, but definitely a good match.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gail. Like you said, it was a pretty good match. I didn't expect it would be a good match and everything. I thought, by the looks of it, I thought it was going to be like sort of like a sloppy match, but it turns out to be it was a pretty good match between the two, and like you said, Liv Morgan's not ready to be a women's champion as of yet.
No, and again, I think the WWE did her a favor that way. Because honestly, I don't think she's ready, but she's damn close. She's damn close. Give her a few more months, 6-8 months of solid in-ring work and brushing up on her mic skills, and she may be ready, which is good. WWE is slowly creating what could be a future star, which they've flubbed many, many times. So if they do this right with Liv Morgan, I think they'll have somebody. Anyway, we talked a little bit about the Fatal 5-Way, but listen, if there's anything that came out of this, I know it's going to be very hard for the WWE to do this because these are two guys who you're paying a ton of money and you want front and center to be guys for your singles contests and your belts. But man, what a Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins tag team be fun. I just keep thinking to myself, man, oh man, that would be an awesome tag team. Awesome promos, awesome ring work. You'd really have something with these two if you decided to make them a permanent tag team and go after the belts. Now, will they? I doubt it, because once again, you're paying these guys a lot of money, and they're solo wrestlers usually for the most part, and that's what they probably want to pursue. But man, Todd, I can't help but think how well they work together in the ring and out of the ring, and it would be a lot of fun.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it would be a lot of fun with these two. And, you know, it's going to be different, actually.
I mean, think about it. You got them on Raw currently, right? K-Bro versus Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins would be pretty good. Pretty damn good. We'll see what happens there. Anyway, Brock Lesnar's the champion, and it really, I don't know, man. I don't know where we go from here. I know a lot of people said, well, Did he have to pin Big E? Wasn't that sort of a slap in the face to Big E? With everybody else there, couldn't have Lesnar pinned somebody else? And the short answer is no. And I'll tell you why that answer is no. They want to make Brock Lesnar look like he earned it. And if he just pinned Kevin Owens, they sure as hell weren't going to let him pin Lashley, because you know that they're trying to get there eventually. So that's out of the question. If he pinned Kevin Owens, then people would have said, whatever, they're just protecting Big E, and Lesnar didn't earn it. This way they can say, Lesnar did earn it. Lesnar beat the champion and survived a whole bunch of stuff doing it. They wanted to make Lesnar look like a badass and win clean against the guy who held the belt, and that's exactly what they did. But they got themselves a problem now, because if they still want to get to Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, I don't know how you're going to do it. You're going to have a match to unify the belts? I don't think so. I doubt it. Because what would that mean for the two separate brands who are on two separate networks? They're going to each want a champion. I have one? I don't think so. See, when they were on USA, both of them, you say, oh, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter if you'd unify. You do a lot of things. They're not going to do that now because of their separate contracts. So I don't think you're going to have a unification match. It looks like they've shifted WrestleMania plans. It looks like they're probably going to go with Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. But then who fights Roman Reigns? Certainly Drew McIntyre probably be healthy by then. But is that a big WrestleMania match for Roman Reigns? And what do you do with Paul Heyman? You see, you set up this whole Paul Heyman thing, and presumably you set it up to make it look like Paul Heyman was fired by Roman Reigns, said, I'm probably going to quit the business, shows up at day one, costs Brock Lesnar the belt, and Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman reveal this was all a plan. I was never fired. This was our way of getting Brock out of the picture, and that's exactly what we did. Then Brock Lesnar shows up at the Royal Rumble. He's the winner, and Paul Heyman has to face the facts that he's unleashed the beast inadvertently in Brock Lesnar again, who's coming for Roman Reigns. That was WrestleMania. I guarantee you that was WrestleMania. I don't know what the hell they're going to do now. Because if they go with Lashley versus Brock, okay, great, that's a great match, and people will probably be interested in it. But then you have got Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman doing what? Doing what? Roman Reigns, how are you going to worm Paul Heyman back into the picture? Because he was never supposed to really be fired. Do you just have him go with Brock on Monday night? Well, that doesn't sound right, but I guess it's possible. Well, that's going to be, yeah, you'd get the great Paul Heyman promos with MVP, but I don't know. You're missing out on what you really put all your eggs in that basket. You put all your eggs on that storyline. And COVID stole it. Now, could they get back to it? Some people are saying, well, Lesnar could return to Raw and dump the belt. Well, he can't. He's not going to lose the belt before WrestleMania. He's not going to get pinned or made to submit before WrestleMania. Just not happening. I guess you could put him in a fatal four-way or something and he doesn't get pinned and loses it, but man, that's weak. That's really weak. So I don't know. I don't think you're going to see Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Now they want it, and the WWE had it all set up. And the rug got pulled out from underneath them. And before people say, well, that's what you get when you're not taking COVID seriously, how much more serious do you want them to take it? Roman Reigns is fully vaccinated, so there goes the myth. People need to open up their eyes and realize. The vaccinated are getting this right along with the unvaccinated. And if you want to say, well, but they're getting it in a more mild case, okay, well, maybe they are and maybe they aren't. Show me the proof of that. So when people say, well, you need to be vaccinated so that you don't spread COVID or get COVID, well, you can spread it and get it. Roman Reigns is living proof. All of these WWE guys, they didn't really mandate you being vaccinated, but they kind of indicated that they wanted you to. And I got news. If you want the real scoop on why Karrion Kross was fired, you want to be vaccinated. And then suddenly it's, oh, we can't use them. I don't think there's one other unvaccinated person. I don't know of any in the WWE. And yet they still got it. Seth Rollins still got it. Roman Reigns still got it. It's a little more dangerous for Roman Reigns given his compromised immune system. But from every indication, it's a mild case and he's fine. So that's the good news. The bad news is this has literally thrown WrestleMania under the bus. And can they repair it? Well, no, I don't think they can and go back to their original plan. I don't see how. If they were going to do that, Lesnar never would have won the belt. It would have been just as easy to say, Brock, you go in there. You're going to maul everybody, but you're going to get feuding with Bobby Lashley or somebody on the outside of the ring, and Big E's going to hit his finisher on KO or something and win. That's all they would have done. Lesnar didn't get beat. Lesnar was dominating. It's just him and Bobby Lashley got into it. And then you say, oh, that's future. Come up something. That would have been fine if they still intended to do Roman versus Brock. So quite obviously they don't. Quite obviously it's going to be a whole different ballgame. And I fear that no matter what they have for Roman Reigns, short of The Rock, which that's not going to happen, from what I hear, they want to save that till next year. Now, could they throw bucket and bucket and bucket loads of money at him? Maybe he'd do it as a favor to Roman or a favor to Vince or whatever. If they said, we are really in a bind, I guess he might. But from what I'm hearing, he's supposed to be shooting movies in Australia or something. He's not even supposed to be around. And a lot of these movie contracts clearly specify you can't be doing crap like this because if you get hurt, then you tie up production, and that's huge amounts of money. So I wouldn't count on The Rock. Short of that, Todd, I mean, I don't know who they can substitute with Roman Reigns that's going to make an impact and make people think, oh, this is wonderful.
Yes, excuse me. You're absolutely right there. Like you said, we don't know who's going to substitute for Roman Reigns. Probably nobody at this rate. Nobody, actually, as of right now. There's no substitution.
See, that's where the problem occurs when you have a roster that you haven't promoted. You don't have a thin roster. You know, I heard a lot of people say, well, the WWE has such a thin SmackDown roster. No, they don't. They got a huge SmackDown roster. It's just they don't promote anybody except Roman Reigns and the Usos. So that's what you get. That's what you get. You were starting to promote Drew McIntyre, but we warned the WWE on this show. We said you better start creating some stars because if Roman, God forbid, ever went back into a leukemia thing where he had to be out for months and months, or Drew McIntyre got hurt or something, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. You don't have anybody ready to take that next step up. And they don't. So it's going to be very interesting. SmackDown Friday is going to be very interesting. Now, Roman will probably be back relatively quick. But still, relatively quick to do what? If this has done anything at all, it's thrown more interest at the Royal Rumble. And I'll tell you why. Because now I really don't know who's going to win. I mean, you're pretty damn sure it's not going to be the Street Profits, one of the Street Profits, or Dominic Mysterio. But there are several people who could win this Royal Rumble based upon the fact that Roman really needs an opponent. And remember, whether you're from SmackDown or you're from Raw, I believe the rule says you can pick the champion. So technically, a Raw guy could still challenge Roman Reigns. SmackDown guy could still challenge Brock Lesnar. So if anything, it might have made their Royal Rumble a little more interesting. But when you do stupid stuff like, say, Johnny Knoxville can enter the Royal Rumble, well, okay. Then you're not taking that seriously either. Have you seen that before? Have you seen, oh, Johnny Knoxville can play third base for the Yankees in the World Series? No. You haven't. And the reason you haven't is because they're trying to win. They're trying to be serious. When you start throwing in celebrities like that, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. You're just taking big money to promote a movie. That's what you're doing. And he better be in and out in 10 seconds. And even if when he is, it's still disgraceful. Thing if you want to be a timekeeper or a referee or something. But entering the Royal Rumble for a shot at the title at WrestleMania, that's ridiculous. Every entrant should be, you know, you can't have every guy be a top quality guy, but every entrant should at least be a qualified professional wrestler. So I don't really like that too much, Todd. I never really liked a lot of celebrity influence anyway, but putting them in the Royal Rumble is really bad.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, putting them in the Royal Rumble is ridiculous. You never seen that back in the day, back the very, very first few Royal Rumbles. You never see celebrities in that. Maybe a ring announcer, maybe a commentator, a guest commentator, or a guest interviewer. That's different. Being a celebrity being in the Royal Rumble, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is. It's a shame that the WWE is still doing crap like that. That doesn't help their credibility at all. Aside from that, folks, the pay-per-view actually was pretty good. I can't really knock the pay-per-view. There wasn't any really terrible matches. And even the last match, as short as it was for a five-man match, was really fast-paced and exciting, and it was nonstop. And there was quite a few chances this is awesome throughout the night on various matches. So the WWE can be happy with that. I think the fans went home well satisfied. I don't think any fans were like, oh, that sucks. The main event's gone, and the whole card sucked. I expected the fans to really be down, because I know if I paid big money to see Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar, and it ends up being he's just being entered into a five-way match, I'd be like, oh, talk about bait and switch, not that they had any control over it. But the fans did not seem to have that attitude. As a matter of fact, the fans seemed to really enjoy themselves last night. So with that in mind, you know, you can't help a COVID diagnosis, and WWE had to scramble. They had to do something, and even though I might disagree with what they ended up doing, I would have steadied the ship. I absolutely would have sent Brock Lesnar out there and said, at some point in the match, you and Bobby Lashley battle each other on the outside. While both of you guys are battling away, Big E is going to pin probably Kevin Owens. And that's the end of it. Then we're going back to the plan B, which is we'll do it on SmackDown if we have to. We'll do that match on SmackDown. Be one of the biggest rated SmackDowns of all time. Fox will be happy, and we'll be back to square one. The very fact that they didn't do that means they abandoned the plans. But it was. I mean, I'm going to have to give this a B+. I think they did a really good job at last minute. I might disagree with some of the decisions they made. But given what they had to work with, it was a pretty entertaining show, Todd. I thought it was quite good.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was a pretty good pay-per-view. How the first time in a while, and you know it was better than Raw and SmackDown this past week. Actually,
it was better than I expected. Put it that way, it was definitely better than I expected. I expected a disaster. To be really honest with you, I expected a disaster. And as soon as Ridge Holland broke his nose, I said, oh, my God, we're off to just the worst start. What's going to happen next? And from that point forward, they picked it up. And I got to tell you something. One of the most underrated wrestlers in the WWE is Sheamus. Sheamus did a really good job. That is not easy. When your partner gets taken out right in the beginning, and you got to totally change the whole match with that good of a match, you're a pro and a damn good one. And Sheamus is, and so is Cesaro, and so is Ricochet. But they did a magnificent job of reorganizing and making that match look, put it this way, it never looked like, oh, shit, there goes our plans and we're a little bit lost in the ring now and you can tell we're all thrown off our game plan. It never looked like that. It legitimately looked like one guy got hurt and one guy's trying to take on two people. It looked real. And for that, they deserve a ton of credit. Also deserving a ton of credit is obviously Liv Morgan, who really lived up to it. I'm telling you, I fully expected she was going to show her weaknesses. I fully expected she was going to come out there and try to wrestle 10, 15 minutes with Becky Lynch and show, oh, geez, she's just not quite there. And she didn't. She really, really, really turned it on last night. So that's good. Fans chanting awesome at several of the matches. That's good. Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins, WWE really should consider, just even if it's very brief, you should really consider making them a tag team just for a few months. I know they probably have WrestleMania plans. I think their WrestleMania plans was maybe to fight each other, and it still may be. But, man, you might want to rethink that too, because what a fun tag team they would make. I would love to see them against RK-Bro. Aside from that, and that could be a WrestleMania match, by the way. Aside from that, like I said, I thought the pay-per-view, even the weakest parts of the pay-per-view were still okay. You even had Madcap Moss step up. He's not bad. I told everybody he's not. The gimmick, you either like it or you don't like it. I happen to like it, but some people don't. But he can wrestle. He's pretty good at what he does. He's a big dude. He's bigger than you think. Could have a future. Maybe not as this particular character, but we'll see what happens. So it wasn't so bad, folks. I mean, again, you got a last-minute monkey wrench thrown into the works, and I cannot imagine. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall when Roman Reigns' test came back positive, and they said, holy shit, what the hell are we going to do? And, listen. They made a decision. They went with it. Wouldn't have been my personal decision, but I'm just interested to see now what they do with Paul Heyman, Todd, because I know he was originally supposed to go back to Roman Reigns as this gimmick of we fooled Brock Lesnar because he's stupid, and we fooled the fans because you're stupid. Now that they can't do that, I don't know what they're going to do with Paul Heyman.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about what they're going to do with Paul Heyman after Roman Reigns got tested positive for COVID-19. Like you said, maybe to send Paul Heyman to Raw or something like that, be like an advocate for Lesnar for briefly.
I think that's about the only choice they got. I really do. I don't know what else. And it's not the best choice, but it's okay, because at least if he's going to feud with Lashley, you'll have those MVP Paul Heyman moments, which should be good. It is terrible. COVID has really hurt wrestling a tremendous amount, maybe more than some other entertainment venues or sports entertainment, so to speak, or even sports. It's really hit them hard. Not being able to have the fans, which is so vital to wrestling for a long time. Luckily, they're back. Worrying about people getting sick and such close contact. And because you got to remember, people who are very skittish about this. And, Seth Rollins walks out of there saying, I had COVID last week, and all these guys got to wrestle him and get his sweat on them and vice versa. And you have to think that some of these guys are like, geez. Roman had the vaccine, still got it. I hope I don't get it. I hope he is past his contagious time. Who knows? Because everybody's flying by the seat of their pants with this COVID thing. Oh, your contagious time is over now. They don't know for sure. They're guessing. They're basing it on some numbers. They don't really know. So I imagine some of them guys might have been nervous. I mean, what happens if Brock Lesnar comes down with it? What happens if a week or two from now they say, well, Brock Lesnar has COVID. What the hell are you going to do? Or a week or two before WrestleMania, what the hell are you going to do? That's why you're not going to see much of Brock Lesnar, I don't think. And you're probably not going to see much of, well, maybe you'll see Roman, because the prevailing theory is if you had it, you're not going to get it again. At least not for a long time. So maybe you'll see Roman. Certainly you saw Seth, so they're not overly protecting him. But you notice they did pull some guys off the road to try to protect for this pay-per-view. It didn't work. But they tried. So, I mean, at this point, we don't know what WrestleMania plans are, or even if the plans that they have are even going to come to fruition, because we're all at the mercy of whether somebody tests positive for COVID. And the real aggravating thing about this is you can feel perfectly fine and have no symptoms and still test positive, and the same result. You still have to quarantine for, I think now it's 5 or 6 days, though. So maybe this won't affect it as bad as we think. Maybe it will. But at this stage, WWE better have a plan B and a plan C. That would be the first thing I would tell my writers is, look, nothing is for certain now. We're living in weird age. So give me a plan B and a plan C, just in case so-and-so goes out or so-and-so goes out. We can't cause a match. You're going to have to give me plan C. Just as a precaution. Sucks, but that, I mean, what else are you going to do? Anyway, folks, it was a fairly good pay-per-view. I have to say the WWE stepped up, and so did the athletes step up, and everybody seemed to be, you know, giving it their all. And you see, that's the thing. It's weird. Every time you think it's going to be a disaster, the pay-per-view looks like a disaster. It usually ends up being better than you think. And every time there's, oh, they've had to have 19 last-minute changes, everybody seems to step up. And that's a really good sign, because that means you got a lot of talented people in your locker room. I just wish they'd use them more. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.